Baptist Church of New Jersey. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of 1 John. We'll be looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 11. When you go to a jewelry store, you get an appraisal on a specific piece of jewelry. It could be a ring, it could be a necklace, it could be earrings, it could be diamonds. And that piece of jewelry is examined thoroughly. It's put under scrutiny, it's put under light. There's attention to specific detail about the piece, attention to specific detail about the diamond. To determine the quality of the jewelry. To determine sometimes if it's either real or if it's fake. The Apostle John is telling us this morning in this passage of Scripture that Christians should put themselves to the test, which is the light of God. That's the test for a Christian, is the pure, perfect, pristine light of God. And what we're being told by the writer here is God's people, God's children, should put themselves to the test. By applying these tests, by applying God's word in our lives, we will determine and we will see where we are, how genuine we are, even to the extent is, are we real or are we fake? Do we profess? Are we? Aren't we? Is our profession, is our walk backing up our talk? John says in chapter 14 and verse 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. So going to the right places, hanging out with the right people, saying the right things, eating the right things, acting the right way, doing all the things that are right externally, doesn't make us a true Christian. Doesn't make us a true Christian. John 14, 15 tells us, if you love me, you will obey my command. So we can know what type of relationship that we have with God by how obedient we are to his word. If you love me, you'll obey him. If you love me, we'll abide by his word. If you love me, we'll love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So, here's our test. We have this test of obedience here in chapter 2 of 1 John. Let's look at verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. We know that we have come to know him. That means a person can experientially know if they're a true child of God. We can know that. And when we know that, that gives us confidence. When we know that, that inspires us. In 1 John in chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So the word know is used 25 times in this letter in order to refute any heresy that was going on back then. The heresy of making people unsure. The heresy of making people doubt. Well, can you really know? Can anybody really know? We've heard that before. And so, we live in an age of profession. We live in an age where people are given intellectual assent to things. We live in an age where people are saying all the right things, doing all the right things, but really, is there a true desire to follow Jesus Christ? Showing up at the right places, meeting the right people. Men want easy religion today. We want things to be easy for us. We want the path of least resistance, even in the life of a Christian at times. We want the path of least resistance. We're okay now. We're okay now with the minimal. We get by with the minimal. We're good with the minimal. Just think if you were paid based on the minimal at your job, the way we want to give the minimal as God's people. Think about that. We don't really take it serious enough. We're more focused on our job. Why? Because our job pays us and we need money. Why? Because we want money. We want more money. We want to do the things we want to do. Are we that faithful and committed to God? Now, we know that we have come to know him here, we're being told here. We know that we have come to know him. And by this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. How do you know whether you're saved or not? Do you do what God's word says? Now, people will turn that around and say, well, you know, nobody can be perfect. And, you know, that's just a guide for us. It's not just a guide for us. It's God's word telling us how to live. It doesn't tell us to consider this. This isn't a book of considerations. This isn't a book of options. This isn't a book of, hey, try this. This is God's word telling God's people, this is how we live. This is how we respond. This is how we act like Christ. And everybody today will say, we're not Jesus. We're not Jesus. John's point here is to say this to us. John's point is if we obey him, then we know him. If we obey him, then we know him. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect. That just means our intent, our desire is to do the right thing. And what is the right thing? The right thing is what God tells us to do. That's the right thing. God's word tells us the right thing to do. If we look at verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments, wow, I hate to say it, the Bible says, is a liar. The one who says, I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Harsh words for today. Harsh words in the world we live in today. This is a man who professes to know God, the writer speaking of, but his life makes him out to be a liar because what he says and what he does are two different things, and God's truth is not in him. A man's word, your word, my word, is tested by his walk. Our word is tested by our walk. It's not tested by the people we hang out with. It's not tested by the world. Our word is tested by our walk, and our walk is tested by God's word. And so a man's words must be tested by his works. We show our reality of faith as God's people, as God's children, and how much we love him by how much we keep his commandments, by how much we do what his word tells us to do. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. John 14, 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. You know, just as there are knockoff pieces of jewelry, knockoff watches, knockoff rings, fakes, diamonds, fakes, there's genuines. In life, there's no different. People who claim to be Christian, maybe they're not. How do we know? God knows the heart, but we also can know by if we obey his word and what our life looks like, what our walk looks like. Bible says, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. Whoever keeps his word, in verse 5, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Our desire is for the love of God to be perfected in our lives. When we know, what do we do when we know we're not keeping his word? What do we do? We realize it. How do we realize it? How does a believer realize he's not keeping God's word? The conviction of the Holy Spirit lets us know. You know and I know, those people that have given their life to Christ know when they are not doing the right thing because the Holy Spirit is convicting of sin. That's part of the Holy Spirit's job, is convict men of their sin. And what happens when that conviction comes? Repentance should occur. And after repentance comes, restoration comes. And we have the blessing of God's mercy, grace, and forgiveness all over again in our lives. You know, Jesus Christ died once for all of our sins, the sins we made in the past, the sins we're presently in, and the future sins. He died one time for all of them. And when we are not living in God's word, that's sin. But we've been forgiven of it, but we have to go to God to agree with it. Because that's what confession is. Confession of our sin is agreeing with God about the things He already knows about us that aren't pleasing Him. We don't go to confess to Him so He can get new information about us. We agree with Him. And so this is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus walked. Must walk as Jesus walked. And that's what we do. That's what we do. And so this word abide, it means the exact same word as fellowship. To have a union or a strong relationship. And so when we think about that, the one who says he abides in him, the one who, in verse 6, the one who says he has this strong union, he has this strong relationship, who he has this strong fellowship, that the one who says that, and who says that? Who are the ones that say that? You and I, God's people, are the ones who say that. We ought to walk in the same manner as he walked. So we say we're abiding in him, then our walk needs to match our talk. And as we say that, and we say that here, and that goes around the world, our walk needs to match our talk. The first thing that comes to mind is, God, forgive me because my walk doesn't always match my talk. Can we all agree on that? We all should be able to agree on that. We all should be big enough people to agree that our walk doesn't match our talk. And when our walk doesn't match our talk, then what we do is we ask God to forgive us. Because we want our walk to match our talk. And so the question for us this morning is, are we willing to obey God? Are we willing to obey God? And so those who claim to know him then must walk as Jesus walked. That doesn't mean we will walk perfectly. That means our desire is to please Christ. Our desire is to please Christ in how we live. Our desire is to please Christ in how we think, in how we act, in how we talk, in how we interact in this world that's against Christ. And so we have this test here, this test of love. Dear friends, in verse 7, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. The old command is the message that you have heard. Now, John, what he's doing is he's applying this to professing Christians, like another test here, which is not a moral test, but this is more of a social test. Do professing Christians love other Christians? These professing Christians had heard about the love for a long time, Bible tells us. Love was taught in the Old Testament. If you go back to Deuteronomy in chapter 6 and verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If you go to Leviticus in chapter 19 and verse 18, do not seek revenge, the Bible says, or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Yet here he says, yet I am writing you a new command. So its truth here is seen in him and you. The idea of love was not new. But Christ invested in it with a richer and deeper meaning. He gave new dimension to love. John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So the Bible is telling us here that this is a test. Christians are now to love as Christ loved them. Christians should love other Christians and love everyone as Christ loved them. That's how we know in the examination process, just like in that jewelry store. That's how we know. in the examination process of our own life, where we're at, if we're genuine or not. And why? Because the Bible says darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Because Christians, people who have given their life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the indwelling Christ in us, we should reciprocate that to the world. So anyone who claims to be in the light and hates his brother, the Bible says, if you read on, is still in the darkness. You can't claim to be in the light and hate someone. You can't claim to be in the light and intensely dislike someone. You can't claim to be in the light and not love your brother. That's an attitude. That's an attitude. An habitual attitude of hostility, of revengefulness, of indifference, of unconcern for other people, that type of continual attitude will tell us that's an unregenerate person. Because the Spirit of God has been shed abroad in us, the love of God has been shed abroad in us. So if we're continually in opposition, if we're continually unforgiving, if we're continually hostile, if we're continually indifferent, where's the indication that we're a true believer? If we continually never let things go, if we continually not forgive, where's the indication that we're a true believer? If we continually are bitter and dislike people, where's the indication that we're a true Christian? As we watch the news and we see things we don't like and we see people that we just think are the worst people in the world, is that the way Christ would view them? So when you wake up tomorrow and you watch the news and you hear the people that are indifferent to your point of view, think about how Christ would respond. When we're in our little circles of friends who believe certain things versus what other people believe, think about how Christ would respond. This is for all of us. That's the test of where we really are. We can get aggravated every day about everything that happens in this world and show who we are. We're either a genuine Christian or we're just like a fake diamond. No different than a fake piece of jewelry. Fake piece of jewelry, fake Rolex. They go out once or twice a week out to dinner with the guys and show everybody the fake Rolex. Not a lot different than a lot of people who walk into buildings on Sunday and call themselves Christians, but if you were with them the rest of the week, you'd have no idea if they were a Christian or not. That's the test. John's putting to the test. The Bible says, whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks around in darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. But if you back up, prior to that it says, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. So for John, for the writer here, either a person is unsaved in the darkness or you're saved in the light. There's no in between. There is no in between. The person who loves his brother is abiding and fellowshipping with God, and in him there is no darkness. The person who hates his brother can't possibly have fellowship with God. So a professing Christian who has no love for other Christians is in darkness. A professing Christian who has no love for people, who doesn't forgive, who shows no mercy, who shows no grace, who has a bitter spirit, is in darkness. You know, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John in chapter 8 and verse 12. And here this morning, as we look at this final few verses, think about the test that we need to put ourselves through. The love that we need to have for our brothers. The love that we need to have for our sisters. The love that we need to have for a world that doesn't know Christ. For those who do know Christ, for those who have had the love of God shed abroad in their hearts, for those is the understanding of how we're to love those around us as brothers and sisters in Christ, and not only those around us as brothers and sisters in Christ, but those around us that are in total opposition to us. That's the real test. The real test is not that I show up on Sunday like I'm showing up at a bowling alley on Thursday night. The real test is how I love all of those around me, how we love all of those around us the same way that Christ did, in spite of opinions, attitudes, adversity, conflict. The real test for God's people is to show the love of Christ in the world today. For you, for me, for all those who have ever come to repent, to call on Christ to be Lord and Savior, that's the true test. Amen. Let's pray.